I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, happy Tuesday to you in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. D'Amico Ryans yesterday, along with Nick Caserio, actually, Han and Cal McNair also. They were on a stage at NRG Stadium addressing.
It looked like it was packed, too.
It was. A lot of season ticket holders in the building for the State of the Texans address. It's an event that's specifically designed for season ticket holders, obviously, to get them ready for the season. And, I mean, ticket holders have a lot of reason to be excited for this one, a lot of intrigue in the upcoming campaign for the Texans, as obviously went to the playoffs again, got another playoff victory, but still a lot of things to see when it comes to growth, development, where this team goes. And so people had questions, and there was a Q&A session that we got some interesting kind of insights on you know, from this perspective of the D'Amico Ryans, of Nick Caserio, even some things from Cal and Hannah. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I think caught your attention here, John, was something that D'Amico Ryans said, and he's kind of talked in a way that felt a little glowing about a player that you would not necessarily expect.
Yeah, well, let's first go back, and this kind of raised a lot of eyebrows here and all over town when, you know, when someone in power like that says something completely unsolicited and goes way over the top, almost out of character over the top, about a player, you kind of go, whoa, well, we got to pay attention to that. Well, this was Nick Caserio right here with Payne and Pendergast.
LD's been working his ass off really since last year. It's unfortunate he kind of had a deal with a couple different foot injuries, one that he was aware of, maybe one that kind of came to fruition when he got here, was new, but he's worked really hard. He's been here essentially every day since the season has ended, so he's got a great attitude, very upbeat, very positive, a lot of energy. You know, he was a player that we thought was going to be competitive with the group last year, played tackle at Michigan, had some snaps inside as well, so kind of fits with the rest of the group. So awesome human being, just a great kid. So he's had a good attitude. He didn't let allow what happened last year to affect his overall work ethic and mindset. So he's been great to have here, and we're anxious to see him on the field.
All right, so that's when we all went, whoa, because he was asked kind of sort of about Blake Fisher.
Yeah, he was asked about who, you know, who's kind of transformed their body. Blake Fisher was the nominee that Sean threw up there. And he was like, all right, Sean, that's cool. But let me tell you about my boy, LD.
Yeah. And so last night, you know, I'm presuming a season ticket holder, could have been someone else, but asked D'Amico Ryans a very similar question about, I think the question was more about, like, you know, who stood out or who could stand out, et cetera.
You see it now, like, Watson, he's in the building, like, one of the first ones in the building. Work, he's staying later, doing extra work. You just see the work ethic. You see how he's picking up on the offense. You see how he's communicating. And that's a guy that's really stood out to me. Like, not knowing him before we signed him here this offseason, he stood out just basically throughout his work ethic.
So if you didn't get all that audio, I know there was an echo in the room, etc. He was talking about Justin Watson, wide receiver they signed out of Kansas City.
Correct.
And we haven't really even mentioned Justin Watson very much other than when they brought him in.
Correct. I mean, right. Yeah. Justin Watson, obviously, who is, I mean, you mentioned played at Kansas City, drafted in 2018 out of Penn. You know, he's played for a couple of teams, including the Bucs, and most recently, as you mentioned, the Chiefs. And, I mean, he's been on Super Bowl teams. He's been solid. I mean, I would not necessarily say that I would write home about him, but it's not like he's a bad wide receiver, but I think it is fair to say that we have looked at Justin Watson as a guy that when you first signed him, as, okay, that paper's over. You could play him in that, you know, your starting lineup of wide receivers alongside Nico Collins and Christian Kirk. But as soon as you brought in a lot of wide receivers, not just a wide receiver that you feel like could step that, I think we started looking at him as potentially disposable in that, what was that group of eight that we kind of set of wide receivers that you were going to probably need to trim down to six between your two that you know, Collins and Kirk, and then your two young guys that you just brought in, Higgins and Noel. You have two guys that are kind of in question marks in some ways from last year, if you're talking about Xavier Hutchinson and John Metchie. And then you have the two kind of wide receivers that you brought in as veterans, but they are new to your team, Braxton Berrios and Justin Watson. And those two guys feel like the ones that you looked at and you go, eh.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because they were brought in before the draft, and you're thinking, well, they're taking a flyer on these guys. Berrios is clearly a special teams guy as well. Actually, well, Watson is too, but...
Yeah, but not in the same way.
Not in the same
you
way.
You mean kind of return guy when you talk about Berrios.
Yeah, Berrios is much more involved. Is Justin Watson a thing? I mean, he brought him up just by name, you know, on an open-ended question. He brought up Justin Watson. All right, now I want him to be a thing.
I don't think so, right? And I obviously... there's value in having a guy who, one, has some experience, mm-hmm. right? And experience with some very good football teams at that. But, I mean, when you also look at, I think he's a solid player, but mm-hmm. I know that D'Amico cares about the type of the talent of guys and the types of guys that you have in that room, maybe from that perspective. Because that's basically what he was talking about, like that work ethic,
yeah.
which, again, that's one of the words that falls into that swarm mentality that they have mm-hmm. For them. But I don't know that alone is something where I put him in for certain with the wide receivers that are going to be there. Obviously, he's going to compete. The question I'll ask you is, if he does, who does that then kind of move out of the possibility? Because it feels like one of the guys that they like a lot, and maybe in a similar manner, and especially a guy that they trusted a good amount, was Xavier Hutchinson.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because – you know, sometimes it's not as much what he says as what he doesn't say. And, you know, some of the players that are in that mix, you mentioned the four that are pretty much locks. You know, Nico and Christian Kirk and Jaden Higgins and Jalen Knoll. All right? Didn't mention Metchie or Hutchinson. Metchie and Hutchinson are in those weird positions now where talk about having to compete. They're not only having to compete, they're going to have to play better, you know, from the very beginning. And you don't sign receivers that are – you know, veterans in the NFL, if they don't think they have a real opportunity here, you know, because those are players that can kind of get about the same money at various places, but they came here and they were recruited here, so to speak. So Watson and Berrios, I think they're very much in the mix, and the clock is ticking on Hutchinson and Metchie.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's possible. I mean, it's possible. Metchie is the one that I think we've all been in that place. Mm-hmm. Hutchinson, again, they've talked glowingly about him. We've seen the ways in which they've been willing to utilize his play. But, yeah, mm-hmm. maybe so. Like, also, when you talk about creating separation, Watson will do that to some degree. I mean, he had probably his best separation year last season with the Chiefs, even though he did not have a lot of you know, work to be done. Mm-hmm. It is possible that, you know, maybe they just really like what he brings, which obviously you would assume when they sign him. And so, I mean, maybe so. Like, maybe that's a guy that they'll trust to be almost like a Robert Woods, right, where you step in and you know that he's done this before, that in certain circumstances he has that level of experience that mm-hmm. especially you would be lacking when you're bringing in a couple of rookies to probably take up roles in that wide receiving core. So, yeah, no, maybe that is where they are looking. And does that then put more of a, I guess, target in some ways on the backs of Metchie and Hutchinson?
Yeah, I think. Well, if you don't want to say target, you can easily say, I mean, they're playing for a job. You know, I think that's more than fair. They're playing for, if Watson and Berrios, especially Watson, comes in and gets that kind of review from the head coach in, you know, an event like that, I think it says a lot about them and maybe puts more pressure on the other guys to they have to perform. They have to play better.
Okay, so in your mind, you're looking at this. And, of course, there's a possibility that it could be seven with one of these guys kind of existing as your modern Steven Sims, who is just kind of return man.
Mm-hmm.
But Collins, Kirk, clearly. Higgins, Knoll, clearly. Right? Am I wrong in saying clearly on all those guys? All right, four. Between the remainder, give me your next two or three guys.
Without having seen them, just knowing what we know and having brought them in, I would say Watson has an edge right now. Berrios has an edge because of the special teams.
Mm.
So that kind of narrows down the people on the bubble, so to speak, at least going into camp.
You say the special teams edge. Okay, going into camp.
At least
right.
Going into camp.
I do wonder how much, because Noel, in one of the things that Nick Caseri was talking as well, he mentioned, he was asked about kind of the decision to draft two wide receivers, both in the same, or in back-to-back rounds. Obviously, both from the same school. And one of the things he talked about was they liked Noel, and it's very evident, like the return ability that he has as well. Obviously, ability to play on the inside part of the field, all of that. But does Noel's ability to return then maybe make Berrios a little more expendable as well?
Possibly. But I think Berrios has got a few more pelts on the wall.
Certainly.
You know, and so that's going to give him that competition. And who's to say, you know, you're not going to have kickoff and punt returners. You're not going to have, you know, two guys on special teams with that kind of speed playing as well. I think it clearly is a statement to Hutchinson and Mechie.
Yeah, and the point that is made on the text line and that we were kind of talking about to some degree is Watson's ability to get open, because this was an offense that did not get guys open nearly as much as you would have imagined last year. And yes, a good amount of that falls on Bobby Slowick. But having wide receivers that have a knowledge of how to do that inherently will also, you know, be, it's not a bad thing, and it'll be accentuated by good play calling. And so that's going to be a common kind of thought process, a common discussion point, which is how much of the advancement of this offense year over year is just going to be the schematics and the mentality of the game plan versus having your players kind of be different, better in some of those spaces. And Watson could represent one of those things as well.
Yeah.
All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into our question of the day. As San Antonio, as a city, is considering naming an airport after Greg Popovich, 713-572-4610. What would you want named after you? Let's discuss that next.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.